How many of you got your picture taken yet? Did you all? If you haven't, after service, Pat is going to be back there. And if your mom isn't here, so go ahead and take a picture. About 2 weeks, everything will be ready. We'll be handing them out. Moms, that's our gift to you. Ladies, that's our gift to you this year, a family portrait. And if you want more, Pat, you know, she does, that's her business. She takes pictures and she does a great job. So if you want more, she'll do it and give you a great package deal. So every church in America today is what? Honoring moms. Let's face it, guys, right?
Your day's coming.
Yeah, our day's coming. But we need moms, right? Yeah. I think some of the greatest moms are those who will go back there and teach our children in children's church, you know, who will go back there and or in the nursery and they'll love on kids they don't even know, right? And tell them how important they are and how much Jesus loves them. You know, when I was young and our church would give a gift for every category of a mother under the sun, our little church was called Big Lake Chapel. It was out in the middle of nowhere next to Big Lake, right? Big Lake, Minnesota. And they would give out, it seemed like my Uncle George, obviously he'd pick me up on Mother's Day and Father's Day for sure. My mom and dad didn't go to church. My Uncle George took me to church, but Big Lake Chapel, they would have a gift for the youngest mom, the oldest mom, the mother with the most kids, mother wearing silver earrings, the mother with curly hair, right? The mom whose kid just lost a tooth. I mean, and they would pray them up, and by the end of the service, I mean, the pastor would get up and go, amen, and we go home. I always thought that weird until I realized, you know, I came to my senses one day when I was a little bit older and realized how important my mom really was to me in my life. When I was a kid, my mom's family had this unspoken rivalry when it came to Mother's Day. My mom was the last of 14 kids, so she was the baby. And every Mother's Day, every kid would parade themselves to Grandma's house, and they would drop off a gift. And you know what? You know what's coming, right? Who brought the best gift to Grandma Huesinger? And now, you would have to know my grandma. My grandma did not care about things, right? My grandma didn't care about things. Yet they would come and they would parade all the gifts, you know, and they'd drop them off. And my mom, one year, she got tired and she said, you know what? All she does is take them back to the store and get money. Because my grandma Huesinger was a giver, right? And she would help people around her in the neighborhood, and she would. So one year my mom said, enough's enough, I'm not buying a gift, and I'm just going to go there, I'm going to give her a big hug and tell her how much I loved her. And you know what that did with the rest of the family when they all found out? Nuclear explosion, right? Needless to say, I had a crazy family. I had like so many cousins and that we used to get together at Christmas in a big, you know, we'd rent a building and there was like over 120 of us, you know, every Christmas when I was a kid lined up, and we had a lot and we were crazy. But I want to honor you guys today, you ladies, you moms, and recognize you for all you do. Let's face it, you have a tough job, right, guys? Come on, here's the time where you had get points, right? Yes! Hallelujah! Moms are wonderful! Don't mess up on the opportunities I give you to make points, okay? Maybe some of you are amazing at it. I don't know, I I was searching the internet, you know, and one of my favorite guys, Mel Ming, he was a professor at Northwest University where I went, and he posted this, 25 momisms, right? My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you to the middle of next week. How many of you heard that one? My mother taught me logic, because I said so. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of the swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident, right? My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Heard that one before? My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until you eat all that spinach. I hated spinach. My mother taught me about the weather. That room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. I was always at the grocery store. My mother taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when I get home. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me about ESP. Put your sweater on, don't you think? I know when you are cold. My mother taught me about humor. When that lawnmower cuts your foot off, don't come running to me. My mother taught me about how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. And my mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. And my mother taught me about my roots. Shut the door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? Number 24, my mom taught me wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. The last one, my mother taught me about justice. Because one day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. I couldn't pass those up. Ladies, you amaze me with all you do. And men, I know in a month, my wife will come up here and tell you the same thing I'm telling these moms today. But, man, we couldn't do it without our women, could we? That's how God did it, right? That's how God created us. That's how God brought us together.
No matter how much we independently think we are.
That's right. That's right.
In the end, they all sit in the same area,
Yep. Ladies, we honor you today. Today I want to share with you a message entitled Super Chick. And I'm going way back. I know, how many of you remember when Super Chick was hot in the 70s? I know some of you weren't born in the 70s. Some of us were teenagers in the 70s. You know, today we have all these movies, right? And all these movies are about Marvel's Avengers and all kinds of stuff, and they want you to know about all these superheroes and stuff like that. But I believe all the superheroes in especially in our church today, are in our homes. They're called our moms. I want to look at you ladies today and let you know that you are super chicks. This morning, slide number three, I'm putting up a quiz, right? I'm going to put up a quiz for you. Raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Pick out the name you think that has, here, I'll get out everybody's way. Pick out the name you think has the biggest influence on humanity. See, you know why I put Amy's number up there? Come on, guys. Points. My wife is a wonderful woman, but, you know, and she's done some amazing things, but there, you know, a few of the other ladies might have done a little bit more, but I do know that my wife is one super chick. Many of you this morning probably would not have picked C, Jochebed. You go like, that's a cool name, right? I'm going to name my next little girl Jochebed. Wrong. If you're in Exodus chapter 2, go to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. However you do it, your Bible, your phone, your Bible app. And as you're turning there, I just want to give you a little bit of background on this passage. The children of Israel are living in the land of Egypt. Joseph has passed from the scene. A new king of Egypt comes onto the scene and begins to fear the Israelites because there was so many. The Israelites begin to enslave the Israelites, and they began to treat them cruelly. But the more they were oppressed, verse 12, if you're in your Bible, you'll see in verse 12 it says this, the more they multiplied. So the king orders all the midwives who delivered the babies to kill all the male children. But they fear the Lord, and they don't kill the babies. So the king brings in the midwives again, and he says, hey, give me an account, right, of what's going on here and why you haven't killed the babies like I've asked you to do. And I love what they said, because if you're in verse 19, look down at verse 19. The midwives answered the Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwives arrive. Did you catch that? The Hebrew women are different than the Egyptian women. You see, my prayer is that society will see you ladies as super chicks. Because you know what? There's something different about you. There's something wonderful about you. There's something, because you love God, that is different. You carry yourself differently. I can remember this happened several times to my wife. We would be in a store and somebody would come up to her and they'd look her in the eyes and they would say, there's something different about you. I can see it in your eyes. And I would, you know, I'd try and hold back the tears because, you know, there is something different about her. She loves God with all her heart. The Bible tells us that when they arrive on the scene, the atmosphere changes. That the ladies, the midwives, when they come, that the babies are already born. So Pharaoh orders all the baby boys to be thrown into the Nile. And if you're in chapter 2, verse 1, I'm going to read this, and if you want to follow along, it says this, now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. When Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe and her attendants were walking along the river bank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby, and he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. And then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." I want you to help you ladies understand today with some practical advice on how to be a super chick. This lady is so super, her name does not even come out to the sixth chapter when we begin to see who she was and who her name was. Her name was Jochebed. Jochebed was this. Number one, she was a woman of courage. She was a woman of courage. Can you imagine? Here's Jochebed, and the king is killing all of the babies. The king is killing all of the babies. And she's pregnant, and she sees everything that's going on, and she has the opportunity here to do something great. I can imagine, she's like any mom, she's probably going, "Come on, God, let it be a girl, let it be a girl, let it be a girl," right? But of course, we see that when the little baby is born, that he's a boy. A perfect little boy. Scripture tells us that she looked upon him and saw that he was beautiful. Aren't all babies beautiful? Come on. Whether their head is smushed to the side or their head is, you know, flat on top. Or my nephew just had, they had their first little boy. His name's Ezekiel. And he was 5 pounds. And seriously, he was like this big. He looked like a puppy. I mean, he was cute. He didn't look like a dog. Come on. The size. She held him here like this, and her hand was like this. And I went, "Dude, that's one little teeny baby, right?" Because we've seen Samuel, and he's like this tall already, right? But it isn't why Jochebed saved little Moses. It wasn't because he was beautiful. Scripture tells us more than that. It tells us that she had faith, in that this baby was special, that this child was set apart for a special purpose. That God was going to do something special with this little baby. And in those moments after birth, she made a courageous decision. She would not let the baby be taken. She would hide the baby. And according to the Bible, she did this because she feared God more than she feared Pharaoh. Because ladies, there are all kinds of enemies in this world today. There are a lot of social enemies against your kids today. Grandparents, listen. There are a lot of social enemies against your kids today. They want your kids. There's so many dangers out there. Peer pressure, television, the internet, drugs, alcohol. You know, it baffles me sometimes. We tell our kids in grade school, don't do drugs, and then we pass a law for drugs. I don't get it. But moms, grandparents, you know whose job it is to take care of those kids? Your job. It's your job.
Hallelujah.
And we even have a grandpa, grandma, right? He takes care of his grandkids.
Hallelujah.
See, this message is, next month you'll get a message, but this message is just as much for you, Harold, because I know you take care of every one of those little grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves them. So today, Harold, you're a super dude, not a super chick, right? That's why we need super chicks to stand and be courageous. Because all the governing authorities around us are demanding stuff from our children that I don't know if today I want them to be able to have that much authority or control over. You see, our government isn't throwing our children into the Nile, but they are forcing our kids to hear and read things that they're not of God. And we have a choice, don't we, super chicks? Are you going to stand up and say, listen, I don't think that's right for my kid? Because moms, grandparents, grandmas, do you know what you need to be telling your grandparents? That they were not a mistake, that they were not happenstance, but that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. And that their God loves them. And their Savior, Jesus Christ, loves them. We need to be telling our kids how wonderful they are. We need to teach. Listen, let's say moms, grandmas. You need to be teaching your kids about morality. You need to lead your kids away from alternative lifestyles. You need to be women of courage to stand up and say, listen, I think there's a different way and there's a better way, and that way is God's way.
Amen.
Super chicks, be women of courage, but also be a woman of humble surrender. You know what the Bible says in verse 2, chapter 3? It says, when she could hide him no longer. When she could hide him no longer. Ladies, there's a time coming when you can't hide them any longer, when you're going to have to humbly surrender to God, when they start to get teenagers and they think they have their own mind, right? That they can do their own thing and they don't have to listen to you anymore. Could be starting. All I know is that mom, when they get to that point, you see, here's Jochebed. She fastens a basket and she plays the basket in the Nile, and all she could do is just put Moses in the water, and all she could do is pray. Can you imagine Jochebed? She's saying, Yahweh, I've done all I can. I put him in your hands now. I can no longer hide him. And she puts him in the water, and she humbly surrenders to him. You see, pray that God will surround your children with his power and his presence, and that he'll watch over them, because there's many dangers out there. There's questionable relationships. There's people who want to put their addictive behavior on your kids. And I know it's difficult. And I know there's a lot of peer pressure today. But I know that you can stand up and you can say, I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to choose to trust. Because I'm a woman of courage. I'm a woman of humble surrender, and I'm going to be a woman of impartation. Go back to verse 7 in chapter 2. I've already read this, but I want you to see this again. Here's Sister Miriam. Can you imagine this? Miriam. Mom puts the baby in the water, watches it float down, and Sister Miriam walks down the river as the basket is floating down. Follows along. Sister Miriam is following along. Can you imagine God's divine intervention in this child? Here is Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter comes down at the time and is walking along, and the baby, who knows how fast the water is going, the baby shows up at what? The right time. And she looks into the reeds and she sees the baby. And she looks down and she sees how wonderful this baby is. Verse 7, then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Here's Miriam. Miriam's right there. And Pharaoh looks around. Pharaoh's daughter looks around and she's looking for whatever, I don't know. And there's Miriam and she goes, excuse me, do you want me to go get the baby's mom? The girl went and got the baby's mother, Jochebed, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." You see, there are a lot of rewards, right, ladies, when you can impart unto your kids. Think about this for a moment. Not only does she get to have the baby, she gets to nurse the baby, but she also gets paid to do it. Come on, right? She gets paid to do it. How exciting. Mom not only gets to nurse the baby, and you know, she had to nurse him for a long time, so we don't know exactly how long she had him, but she had to have had him at least 2 years. Maybe less, I don't know. But during this time, she got a chance to impart on him the important aspects of life and faith. Do you know that studies conducted suggest that 50% of a child's attitude is learned in the first 3 years of life? The first 3 years. You know what the Soviets used to say? They used to say, "Give us a child for the first 4 years and we'll have him for life." Your kids are looking to you. Your kids are looking to you to teach them in the way that they should go. If you've done your job, when they get older and they make their own decisions, then it's on them. But don't give up. Impart unto them, impart in their lives what's important. Can I ask you, moms and grandmas, do they see you pray? Do they see you read God's word? Do you teach them God's word? Do they see you living for Jesus? Are you building an ark of safety around your kids? Because listen, if you do those things, you'll be a woman of courage, of humble surrender, of impartation, and you'll become a woman with a continued legacy. To this day, she is one of two women mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Here's your homework, right? Read Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll see what faith in God really means. Because here was Jochebed. She was a woman of courage, humble surrender, and impartation. And I don't even think she knew that she was going to leave a legacy, but she left an amazing legacy. And God didn't disappoint her. God heard her prayers. Because the thing that was supposed to kill little Moses saved him. And the thing that they were going through, God got him through. And sometimes in life we go through things and they're dangerous and we're stressed out and we don't know what's going to happen. But that's when we have to put our faith in God. And we have to trust Him. And we have to lean on Him. You see, not only was Moses preserved, but a nation was, you know, the nation of Israel. It got to leave Egypt finally because of who? Because of Moses' influence and God's direct intervention. Because in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we see God calling on Moses to deliver his people. And it all started with a woman who we probably, I don't think I've ever preached a message on Jochebed before. First one. I can mark that off my bucket list. Preached on Jochebed. I preached on a lot of stuff, but I've never preached on Jochebed. A great writer, Dr. I.M. Haldeman, records an interesting list of contrasts in the life of Moses. And he explains, he says, this is the legacy that Jochebed left. Moses was a child of a slave, but the son of a queen. He was born in a hut, but lived in a palace. He inherited poverty but enjoyed unlimited wealth. In Hebrews chapter 11, 24 through 26, it says, "By faith, when Moses became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." You see, he was the leader of armies, but the keeper of flocks. He was the mightiest of warriors, but the meekest of men. He was educated in the court, but he dwelt in the desert. He was fitted for the city, but wandered in the wilderness. He was tempted with the pleasures of sin, but he endured the hardships of virtue. He was backward in speech, but talked to God. He had the rod of a shepherd, but the power of the infinite. He was a fugitive from Pharaoh, but an ambassador from heaven. He was the giver of the law, but the forerunner of grace. He died on Mount Moab, but appeared with Christ in Judea. No man assisted in his funeral, but God buried him. What a legacy. What a legacy. How about Miriam? Miriam watched Moses. Think about this. Jochebed had not only one child, but two more. She had three children that God used. He used Miriam, who watches Moses in the ark and the Nile, who leads worship after the destruction of Pharaoh and his army, was present at the deliverance of the Israelites. How about Aaron? Remember the old movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston? I didn't see it on TV this year, and I was like, I watch it every year on TV at Easter, right? They didn't show it. You did. But here's Aaron, right? What did Moses tell God? Moses tell God, "I am poor in speech and I can't do this." And he said, "Well, here's Aaron. Aaron will speak for you." Right? Moses says, "Tell Aaron to do it." So there's Aaron. He's along with Moses. He was commissioned with Moses as the deliverer of Israel. Aaron enters the priesthood. All the contents in the Ark of the Covenant were directly related to Jochebed's children. Aaron's rod that budded, the jar of manna placed there by Aaron, the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments given to Moses on the mount. Why? Because there was one woman, one super chick, one woman of courage, of humble surrender, of impartation, and a continued legacy. It said, "With God, all things are possible."
Amen.
Ladies, say with me, "With God, all things are possible." With God, I can do all things. Through Christ, who strengthens me. You can do this. You can do this with your kids. And yes, it's going to take some work. You know what I saw? I'm a pump here. Here's more points, guys, okay? I saw my wife work hard to raise up our two sons. She didn't say, "Good enough." Hear me? She didn't say, "Good enough." When they were crying and pulling fits and tantrums, and they look pretty cute now, you know. But they are 35 and 27. And no, I'm not giving you $5 for that illustration. But when it was time, when little Joshua filled up a suitcase full of all his favorite toys and a box of cookies he had gotten out of the pantry. No clothes. And he said, "I've had enough of this. And he walked out the door, and Amy goes, "Where are you going?" And the first time it clicked in his head, he didn't have a clue where he was going, right? He goes, "I don't know, but I'm getting out of here." So she hugged him, and she gave him a kiss, and she said, "Well, you have a good life." I was still in college, we were managing a condo complex, and in the middle was this, you know, a big playground, and under one of the things there was a little fort. So we watched as he started to walk, and he looked around, and he finally spotted the fort, and guess where he put up camp? In a little fort, right? By the time supper rolled around, "Yes, I'm hungry." And she goes, "Well, aren't you going to make your own food?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know how to make it." And she goes, "Well, you wanted to leave. That's what the world is all about. You have to do it yourself." So he walks away, and next thing we hear is a knock, knock, knock. "Well, I want to come back home. I'm hungry." I remember picking him up. He was just a little guy. Gave him a hug, gave him a kiss. And she said, "You're welcome here anytime." Ladies, if no one has ever told you you're a super chick, you are. You're a super dude. God wants you to know you are special and that he loves you. And you may be sitting here today and the enemy's trying to condemn you, going, "I've messed up too badly. There is no hope." You may be living in fear. Listen, he'll bring you courage. You may be having a hard time humbly surrendering, but you know what? Trust in him and have faith in him. Say, just tell the enemy, say, "Listen, I'm going to impart into my kids, and there's nothing you can do is going to stop me." Grandparents, grandma, help your kids impart into their kids. And listen, can I tell you something? I know sometimes when we grow up, we think our parents don't know a thing. And then when you turn about 25, you realize they know everything. Let your mommy help you. Don't be pushy, grandparents. But let them help you. Tell your kids how much Jesus loves them. And let there be a legacy. Because you know what my prayer is? Listen to this. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that there's going to be many people coming out of this church. Many of your kids who are going to come out of this church and who are going to leave a legacy in our community. Who are going to reach people for Jesus Christ. Are you a Jochebed today? Come on, are you a Jochebed today? Awesome, will you stand? Hey, will you guys come close us with a song? Hey, if you're next to your mom, will you give her a big hug? Come on, hug them tight. Can you bow your heads for a moment? I just want to ask this question. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no